Matt's always fun to get up early and watch the Open Championship. Well, it's quite a bit cooler today than it was on Friday, and we went through a real hot, humid stretch, and I'm sure you were keeping your fingers crossed that your air conditioning would hang in there and not fail on you. Unfortunately, I'm sure with some power outages, there were some air conditioning failures, certainly around the area. And Brian Keene joins us from K&S Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical, serving the Twin Cities and Rochester areas. Brian, it's been a while. How you been?
Very good. How about you?
Yeah, good. We talked, I believe, in the cold weather months. We'll leave it at that. And here we are in the heart of the cooling season, and we went through a real, real tough stretch for AC, for sure.
Yeah, it was slow to get ramped up, but it definitely came through with a vengeance, and now we got a little bit of a break here, it looks like.
Yeah, a bit of a break, and I'm sure your crews are still very busy indeed, Brian.
Yeah, we're happy to see the break. It helps everybody get caught up, keeps everybody, sane, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. And one of the things we talk about, and this is true in the cooling season or the heating season, you want to keep that furnace, you want to keep that central air conditioner running. Filters, filters, filters. Keep a good filter in there.
That's so important. That's the thing that we repeat day in and day out. Using the appropriate filter makes a big difference, both on your utility bills and how well your house cools.
Yeah, and you talk about too much filter is usually the problem. The people go out, spend extra money on these premium filters, but they don't allow airflow, and particularly in cooling season, that is a huge deal.
It is. Airflow is very important in the cooling season, and you want to maximize your airflow, and having a good, clean filter is very important, and then, yeah, selecting the right filter is important as well. There's, 4-inch, 5-inch filters. A lot of people have 1-inch filters. And what you're selecting can be a little bit different depending on how thick your filter is.
By the way, phone line and text line is open if you want to talk to Brian. He's the man, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. If you want to talk about that air conditioning, what could be wrong? Is it time for a new one? Brian, a couple other things. I know for a while, depending on where you live, the cottonwood seeds are really bad. Is it okay for the homeowner to go out and maybe spray those seeds and other debris off that unit outside the house?
That's a very good point. That has been a very big problem this year. And yes, your garden hose with your thumb over the end of the garden hose tight pressure or a very mild nozzle. We don't want pressure washers. Nothing with a lot of force. You just want to get that cottonwood to kind of run off the side of the coil. Some air conditioners, you got to take them apart, and some you can just spray. But that makes a big difference in efficiency as well and its ability to even be able to cool.
Yeah, so keep those clean, but don't do too much with that. They are designed to be outside. One of the things we brought up in the fall in the past, there's people that like to cover those things up and bundle them up, but that's not a good idea either.
No, let the units breathe. I mean, you don't want to get condensation in there all the time. If you have a lot of leaves and seedlings and stuff that fall off trees, simply setting a board on top, maybe put a brick on top of the board, just to keep the stuff out of the inside, let the outside breathe.
Now, today is a cool day, 67 degrees, our dew point 57, so we're not up into the 60s. I would assume the tendency would be for a lot of people to say, all right, we can air the house out. We can throw the windows open and get a little bit of fresh air in there. But generally, during cooling season, it's much easier on that unit to just keep the house closed and let the air conditioner kind of do its business by cycling it where it's running hard and then it's off and the windows are open, going back and forth between open windows and closed windows. Probably not a good idea.
Right. I always encourage people to keep their houses buttoned up in the summertime. Keep that air conditioner running. Keep it at a constant temperature. I don't recommend using the program to let the temperature turn up and down at night versus day. The longer run times you get out of your air conditioner, the more dehumidification you get. And every time you let those windows open, if it's humid, you're letting all that humidity back in, and it, you got to remove it out of your carpets and your walls and your couches. You know, it's a big job for the air conditioner to remove all that humidity.
Yeah, for sure. What about running a dehumidifier? I have a 50-style ranch, and I found in the 15 years I've been in the house that even though the air is running kind of in the basement, in that utility room, I've got an old well back there, you know, kind of an old-school laundry room, that it does help to have that dehumidifier running. Good idea, bad idea? Am I doing something wrong?
No, you're not doing anything wrong. It just depends on what type of house. People with very damp basements, they will receive some benefit from that. Just remember that all the heat that dehumidifier produces has to be removed by the air conditioner. So if you're on a hot day where the AC is already running very constant and you're worried about keeping that temperature maintained, you might want to shut it off that day. But the more mild days where the AC doesn't have as long a run cycles, it can be beneficial.
And that gets into sizing. And I think if someone's going to put in the correct heating or air conditioning unit, and right now we're thinking about AC, maybe not on a day like today, but getting it sized correctly is so important because it gets back into that formula. On those really humid days, you want the longer run time so it is drawing that humidity out.
That's 100% correct, yeah. A lot of people always say, you know, bigger is better, right? Well, yeah, to a certain extent. But if your air conditioner is too big, the run cycles are so short that, yeah, it maintains the temperature that your thermostat is asking it to, but it doesn't run long enough to remove the humidity. So you end up with a cool, clammy house, and you don't feel as good as you could with an air conditioner that has longer run times.
By the way, our phone number, if you want to talk to Brian Keene from K&S, Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical, serving the greater Twin Cities Metro and the greater Rochester area, 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. You have a question about one of those systems in your home, Brian's going to take his shot at it here on this Saturday afternoon, and we're glad he's able to join us. And here we are at the tail end of a real hot, humid stretch. It was ridiculous on Friday. And I'm sure the phone was ringing off the hook. And in that case, Brian, it is a challenge. And I suppose you kind of take a look at the emergency situations and you just get to folks as soon as you can.
Yeah, it's really tough sometimes. Fortunately, I knew that today was going to be cooler and I was able to calm a few people down that, sure, you know, were really worried about us getting there when I let them know it was going to be cooler. But, yeah, every year this happens. You know, we do our best to get to everybody, but you get backed up.
Yeah, for sure. Preventative maintenance is another one. Once you get into the meat of July, preventative maintenance may be a little bit too late. That's something you like to see on the AC early in the spring before it gets hot. And then, you know, before you know it, I hate to wish summer away, but we're going to be taking a look at PMs on furnaces for sure.
I know. It feels like summer just got
here. Yeah, that's right.
It's already... It's been a strange year. Everything seems to be a month behind, in my opinion.
Yeah. And once again, it's not too early to book that PM for the furnace, is it? You know, it really, you get through the meat of the cooling season. Maybe September, start thinking about it?
Yeah, the earlier the better. As soon as you're done with your air conditioner, it's a great time to get started on your furnace PM.
Yeah, all right. So keep that in mind. Put it on the calendar, folks. Let's go to the phone lines. Once again, Brian joining us. You want to talk heating, air conditioning, plumbing, electrical. Once again, Brian Keene joining us from K&S, heating, air conditioning, plumbing, and electrical. Let's go to Gordy in Cottage Grove. Gordy, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. Say a couple of quick questions, and then I'm going to hang up and listen. In the wintertime, you know, if you've got an air conditioning unit that keeps constantly getting covered with snow, is it a good idea to keep the snow off it, or doesn't it hurt? And the other thing during the summertime, when the air conditioning, you have the air conditioning on, is it what's preferred, to leave the blower motor running the whole time, or stick in an automatic and let it keep turning off and on?
Both are two great questions. So the first one, I would not worry too much about the snow on the air conditioner. I've not seen too many situations ever where that's ever affected the air conditioner. just let it sit out there the way that it was designed. The manufacturer designs them to sit out through the winter without you really doing anything to them. And the fan, absolutely. I'm a big fan of keeping the fan on.
Yeah, and this comes up every time we chat, Brian. It's something I do. It's just always on to circulate that air through the house.
Right. I leave my fan running 24/7, 365 days a year. The only time it turns off is when I'm doing some type of maintenance on my equipment. I've got a good, efficient fan, which, by the way, all new furnaces manufactured as of up until the beginning of this month, they no longer can build them with non-efficient fans anymore. So everybody's going to be able to run their new furnace fans very efficiently in the future. The reason they're doing that is because everybody knows the benefit of it.
All right, quick break. We come back with Brian in just a moment. Once again, Brian Keene from K&S Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical, serving the Twin Cities and Rochester, and their website, ksheating.com. We'll come back with Brian. More calls. We'll go to Jim, Mary Ann, Scott, all waiting on the phone lines. And here's the number if you want to call or text the program, 651-989-9226. And that's good for all our programs here on the CCO.
The home of Sid.
News Talk 830 WCCO.
Ever Twins and A's here on the radio. We continue with Brian Keene, once again from K&S, Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical. And Brian, let's go to the phones and bring in Jim in Apple Valley. Jim, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Brian, I have a couple questions. I have a home that's just under 4,000 square feet. I have a high-energy furnace. We've been using 4-inch filters. I've been paying a little bit more money for a better filter. I heard the comment earlier about you want airflow. So I'm just interested. I just put one in yesterday, actually. It has a MERV rating of 8. I don't know what that means, but it's a more expensive filter. So if you could comment what your recommendation is as far as airflow and what the MERV rating is.
Yeah, so the MERV rating is how small a particulate it will remove out of the air. 8 is kind of on the lower end of good as far as what it will remove for dust. MERV 16 is the best one that I know of. MERV 10, 11 is kind of more what people are going for. When you go to buy a new filter, look online. There should be some options that fit your size for something more of like a 10 to a 16. And all those 4-inch filters should flow good enough air for you. I would just look for a higher number in the MERV rating for better indoor air quality.
Okay, and the 4-inch filters, those are the real wide ones. I have an older furnace, but it used to be where that Honeywell electronic filter was, and that's no longer there. And I've got, you know, that 4-inch space I can slide in there. And generally, those are pretty good for airflow.
Yes, the 4-inch, 5-inch filters, those are the really good ones for airflow because you get a lot more surface area. The little 1-inch filters are the ones that you have to really be careful of because there just isn't a lot of filter there. And a lot of people are buying the pleated media filters in the 1-inch version, and they reduce your airflow, you know, something like 30% over the fiberglass ones. And that's where we really run into a problem.
No, so for the 1-inch, if you have a 1-inch slot for a filter, you should really think of those, old-school fiberglass filters.
That's correct. The old-school cheap ones are going to flow air well, and I understand they don't filter very good, but that's when it's time to call your, you know, local heating and cooling company to come out and fit you for a 4-inch filter.
I got you. All right, let's go to Mary Ann in Burnsville. Mary Ann, you're on with Brian Keene. Hello.
Hi. I have a question on duct cleaning. And how do you know when you need to have your ducts cleaned?
So what you should do is call your local duct cleaning company and ask them if they have a camera to come out and look in the ductwork to see how dirty it is, if you want to know for sure. Otherwise, a good rule of thumb, according to the EPA, every other year to every 3 years is more recommended for duct cleaning.
All right, and if you have pets, dogs, cats, etc., it seems to me, and if you have hardwood floors all over or some sort of hard surface floors, those ducts tend to get dirtier because, well, it's all flowing to those returns, et cetera.
That's all correct. Yep. People that don't have anything that holds the dust in their carpets, and a lot of times it gets into the vents easier, which is good. I mean, you can keep your house cleaner, but you do need more duct cleaning. And, of course, pets and kids and higher traffic houses, of course, need more duct cleaning.
Yeah, and I would assume cleaner ducts are going to help your air conditioning this time of year and your heating in the winter months.
It's good for your system and everything, but primarily it's for your health. And that's the number one thing that duct cleaning has done for us. It's just like vacuuming or dusting or doing anything else you'd do to keep your home clean.
By the way, our phone number here, it is ASC expert Brian Keene joining us, K&S Heating and Plumbing and Electrical. Let's go to Scott in Oakdale. Scott, you're on the air with Brian. Hello.
Hi, guys. Yeah, I built my house 30 years ago, and one of the things that they were doing back then that they thought was a great idea was to polyline your walls after they've inserted the fiberglass insulation in between the wall studs. And one thing that I noticed in a section of my basement where it's a kind of a rec room, workout room area, where I didn't sheetrock that area, and I see that poly, all of the condensation starts to build up behind that poly and really sweat. And over the years, you're getting a lot of these little black mold spots. And what I'm wondering is a couple things. A, I wanted to put a mask on and pull off that poly and re-insulate that area and keep the poly off the wall. And B, in all of the rooms where you're sheetrocked, you're wallpapered and painted, is that really causing a huge mold problem that could weep through the walls and cause a health issue?
All right, great call, Brian. Your thoughts on that and moisture management?
So there's no quick answer to that. I'd like you to call me sometime and we can talk more about it. But the quicker answer is don't remove the poly. You can remove that poly, but make sure you put new poly back on. You need to have an external vapor barrier and an internal vapor barrier, and they need to be as tight as possible. You're probably getting some leakage around that poly or that plastic, and you're getting condensation in there. If you don't, then there's the factor of a positive and negative pressure in your home, and you're either pushing humidity into your walls or you're pulling humidity from outside into your walls. So there's a couple different things going on there, and it's going to take a longer conversation, but I can help you with your problem.
Yeah, and Brian, it's one of those things where over the years the technology and the understanding of this has changed so much, maybe from especially the time my house was built in 55 to where we are now with modern construction techniques.
That's correct. Houses used to breathe. Now they're making them as tight as they can. Even 30 years ago, you know, they're somewhere in between. And the houses that were built 20, 30 years ago, they were the ones that were having some issues because they weren't breathing to the right level for what they had for seals. You still got to get some air exchange in there to keep things from having the problem that he's describing. And, we know what's going on now, and I can definitely help with that problem. It's something that I work on every day.
All right, quick break. We've got a weather update, and then we've got more with Brian in a moment. Good enough to join us here on our Ask the Expert Hour today. Air conditioning in the spotlight. Once again, Brian Keene from K&S Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical, serving the Twin Cities and Rochester. We have some phone lines open right now. It's 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. You can also send your text to that same number, 651-989-9226. Quick break. We'll come back with more with Brian in a moment.
News. Give you up-to-date information, and it's good to just keep you in the know.
Weather. Just in case there's a case.
Brian Keene joins us. He is with K&S Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical. Is good enough to join us from time to time. And right now, with this latest heat wave over for the moment, air conditioning certainly in the spotlight today, and we invite your calls and texts. And Brian, let's go to the phones. Let's bring in Ruth. Ruth, you're on the air with Brian. Hello.
Hey, hi there. Thanks for taking my call. My question is about the air exchanger. Should you leave it on all the time? I know it acts as a dehumidifier. Should you leave it on during the heating and cooling season? Typically, I've been told only during the heating season. And by the way, what to do? It was so darn cold last winter. Mine was freezing up. I had ice inside it, so I shut it off until the weather got a little more reasonable. So I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thanks.
All right, Ruth, thanks. Brian, what do you think about those air exchangers?
Those are all great thoughts. We've talked about all that a lot within the last 12 months here. And, yeah, last winter there was a lot of problems with them freezing up. Some of them have automatic defrost, which helps. But it was just a major problem because it was a, you know, extra cold winter. In the summertime, you should have it turned off because what it does is it brings cold, dry air in from outside. As it gets rid of the humid, warm air from inside your home, and the air that's leaving helps warm up the air that's coming in. So essentially what it's doing in the wintertime is it's reducing your humidity. Now, I know a lot of people have humidifiers out there to add humidity in the wintertime. A lot of these new homes are built tight with the poly, like the last caller asked about, and with the Tyvek on the outside of the house, and we're actually using the air exchanger to help the house breathe. In the summertime, you'll do nothing but bring in hot, humid air. So they don't do you any good in the summertime.
All right, so don't use them in the summertime. Once again, with those air exchangers. And that's one of those things, O'Brien, where it's kind of like if you're not sure, it's good to ask. Because people can use this equipment improperly or manage it improperly. I hope my mother-in-law is not listening in South Dakota. But a long, long time ago, I couldn't figure out. They would get home from work, turn on the air conditioning, cool the house down until they went to bed, then open up the windows, leave them open all day, come home to a hot, humid house, and they would just repeat that cycle every day. I'd never seen anything like it.
Yeah, that's not a good practice. So the one more thing about the air exchanger, too, is there's more than one way that those things are installed in pipes into a home. Sometimes they're even used for bath fans. So I would recommend that if you are in doubt of how to operate your particular air exchanger or HRV, they're called, call your contractor, call me. I'd be happy to help you out real quickly on the best practice for your particular situation.
All right. By the way, our phone number is 651-989-9226. Call or text 651-989-9226 here on CCO. Here's a good one. I'll be gone from my 50s style Rambler. Sounds familiar. I got one of those for a month or more with no one else there. Number one, would you recommend keeping the AC on while I'm away? And what would you temp the or set the temp at, Brian?
It's a good question. If I was going to be gone for an extended period of time and I didn't have any animals or anything, I would just shut it off. I think that'd be the most energy, you know, conscious thing to do. Nothing's really going to happen to where it's going to get so humid in there or anything like that where it's going to hurt anything. I mean, a lot of people went, you know, years and years without air conditioning. Some people still don't have air conditioning. So it's okay just to turn it off.
All right, so just turn it off. But if you did decide for whatever reason to leave it on, just set it at something like 78, should be okay?
Yeah, I mean, truthfully, a lot of people set their unit at 78 while they're home if they're conservative with energy. You know, maybe even you want to set it at 80 just so it doesn't get, you know, overly hot in there and start melting some candles or something.
Yeah, I remember that. It's funny you bring that up, Brian. When I was a kid, we went up north to a friend's cabin for a week, and my mom and dad left the house closed up, but they turned the air off. And when we came home, there were some candles melted in the house. So,
yeah, it can happen. I've had it happen before, too.
Yeah, especially upstairs in the split. We had the old split, and sure enough, upstairs, a couple of candles melted while we were away. 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Once again, Brian Keene joining us. Here's one out of the electrical department. There have been a number of power outages as of late with storms moving through, et cetera. Any concerns about your electrical system in the house, and then maybe take it a step further, can it cause problems with your central air if the power goes out and then jumps back on?
Yeah, we're getting some really good questions this time. But that's been a really big deal this year. I mean, we've had countless storms and lightning storms this year that have caused all kinds of problems. I mean, of course, you can never prove exactly what happened, but we have a pretty good idea as technicians as to what happened. Power surges have been a big deal this year, lightning strikes. Surge protectors are something that you can purchase from your local electrician. We have them. That can be installed in your house to protect your valuables from power surges and air conditioners too.
Yeah, and is it pretty rare for a power outage to actually cause damage when that power comes back on? Because typically it's abrupt. You know, when they fire up the power in the neighborhood again, I mean, it's going right now.
It is abrupt, and I've seen a lot of extra air conditioner compressors this year that have been that are dead, you know, and we don't know exactly what happened. They're shorted out. It doesn't seem like it's normal. And it's been from all the power outages and also from all the lightning, I think, that we've had this year, because it hasn't been that long and that hard of a summer on air conditioning. But yes, all the storms we've had are definitely costing people money.
Brian, here's one from the text line, and this is really a good one as well. What should the actual air temp be coming out of your vent when your air conditioning is running? I mean, what's optimal, or does it depend?
18 to 22 degrees difference, so really 20 with a little bit of leeway in either direction. Between the air going in and the air coming out is textbook. So I wouldn't measure it right at the vent. If you can find a spot right in the plenum above the furnace, that's typically where we measure it. And then right where the air filter is would be the air going in. So if you just took your thermometer and stuck it by the air filter and waited a few minutes and say it's probably going to be close to the temperature that's in your house, and then the air going out is going to be right above it, 18 to 22 degrees different.
All right, and if it's not there, if it's considerably less, that's a sign you got a problem.
Yeah, if it's considerably less, it could be because the air conditioner is not working to capacity. If it's considerably more, you might have an airflow restriction. You're not getting enough airflow over that coil, and it's getting too cold.
All right, and we get a text, speaking of power outages, someone's been on a generator for almost a day in northwest Wisconsin, so we'll keep our fingers crossed for you that you get your power back. Another good one, and this is more electrical. I've come home to blinking clocks on devices telling me we had a short power outage in the neighborhood. The power dropped out. I get that. You know, I have an old clock radio that I've had for years, and that's a dead giveaway that we had a power outage. But should you be concerned if some devices are blinking and some aren't? What might that say?
Some devices actually have a little bit of a power saver inside of them that can actually buffer that for a short period of time. That's why you get some that do and some that don't.
All right. So no concern. But speaking of electrical systems, since at K&S you do electrical, anything to look for if you've had a power outage or a lightning strike in the neighborhood? Are there any giveaways where you should be concerned and bring in an electrician?
Not really. It's all preventative. It's kind of like a generator or no generator. Some people do it because they want to be protected. A surge protector is, you know, the same type of thing. Some people have surge protector strips even on their computer, you know, things like that. That way it just can protect from a voltage spike going back into the device. You know, it's just preventative. There's really not more or less people, you know, some people that need them more than others. It could happen to anybody.
All right, let's go to Howard in Laconia. Howard, you're on the air with Jeff Brian Keene from K&S. Howard, hello.
Yes, thanks, Michael. Say, listen, during the winter months, it really doesn't matter what temp we set the thermostat at, if it's 68 or 70. The furnace will run for 10 minutes, giving out heat, and then it turns off and is off for 7 minutes, and turns on again and does that same thing all day long. What is the problem?
Well, I wish I could answer that for you. I've heard that before. It's been different things. The furnace could be overheating and turning itself off, and that's just how much time it takes for it to overheat. There are devices in there that stop it from overheating. All furnaces have it. It could be an electronic issue in the thermostat. or the circuit board. There's numerous things that could be going on there. I've no doubt we could figure it out, but I wish I could tell you without testing. I won't know for sure.
Now let's go to Barb next. Barb, you're on with Brian Keene. Thanks so much for calling the program. Hello.
Thank you so much. I was listening to you talk about the air conditioning. I went and changed my filter. It's only a 1-inch one, but there's little pieces of pink insulation all over it. What's going on? I thank you for letting me talk to you on the phone, or I mean on the air, because I'm a widow, and I don't know what it is, but we are easily scammed, and it's so hard to know who to ask and who to trust.
All right, Barb. Brian, a little bit of insulation in the filter. What could that be?
You know what? A lot of the ductwork goes through the inside of the walls and above the ceilings and stuff. Somewhere some insulation might have let loose. I don't know how often it's happening. But, you know, it could have just been something that fell in there, too, during a project years ago, and it just came loose now. That's why you have a filter in there. Just keep a filter in there, and if you see it all the time, just change your filter more. Eventually, it will have to go away.
Yeah, and once again, on filters, and this is a follow-up, and it seems like whenever we visit, filters are a big deal because it is a big part of your HVAC. But change them monthly? What do you think, Brian? What do you go with? What do you recommend to your customers?
So the thicker, you know, 4 to 5 inch filters, those can usually be replaced every 6 months to every year. I do mine seasonally, so I do it once in the heating season and once in the cooling season. If you have 1-inch filters and you're using the appropriate fiberglass filter, those should be replaced. They should be checked monthly. Some people need to do it every other month. Some people need to do it every 3 months. You'll get in a pattern and you'll know after a while, but until you know if it's a new home to you or a new system, check it monthly until you've developed a pattern of what you need.
All right, quick break. More with Brian Keene. We'll say goodbye. Time for a quick call or text at 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. We're getting a little bit of free air conditioning today, but it's going to be back into the 80s this week, and many of us will be relying on that AC. Once again, 651-989-9226. Brian Keene from K&S Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical joining us on the CCO. Cool day, but I'm sure a break for everyone. But once again, before we run out of time here real quick, filters are a big deal. If you're noticing problems, you take care of it early. And preventative maintenance in advance of the heating season, you know, get it on the calendar. Get it scheduled sooner than later.
Yeah, preventative maintenance is so important. So many people forget about it until it's time. I get it. We're all busy. But having maintenance done on your heating and cooling system is just as important as having maintenance on your car before that big, long trip that you go on.
Yeah, and by the way, a website, ksheating.com, ksheating.com. It's got the numbers here in the Twin Cities and in the Rochester area. Brian, good to visit with you again, and hopefully we can do it again down the road.
Yeah, thanks. Have a great weekend and enjoy the cool weather while it's here.
Yeah, for sure. It looks like it's going to be a comfortable one. Highs in the 80s, lower humidities next week should be a good one for all your crews to get caught up.
Yep, we're looking forward to it.
All right, there he is, Brian Keene once again from K&S Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical. We have all the news, all the weather coming up at 3. And then we'll go to Target Field, get you set for the Twins and A's coming up tonight.
Listen to WCCO on FM 102.9 KMNB HD2.